The Gemara says, Yud Amid Beis, at the bottom, the Gemara. We just said in the Mishnah, what sounds like a machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. The Rabbi Yehuda said that you check for chametz three times. You check it the night of the 14th, you check it the morning of the 14th, and then you check it at the time that you get rid of the chametz in the middle of the day, or towards the middle of the day. And the Chachamim say, no, it's not that you check every single time, but rather that you, if you don't check at the night of the 14th, so then you check it on the 14th. If you don't check it on the 14th, so you check it in the middle of the Yantif. If you don't check it in the middle of the Yantif, you check it after Yantif. This is, as we'll see later, for the sake of making sure that your chametz isn't eaten after Yantif, which is also Aser. Umash Meshayer, the Mishnah finished off, as I said before, anything that you leave over after Bedika on the night of the 14th, so make sure you put it in a safe place where it's not going to be taken and put it somewhere else in the house, and then you have to go find it. So the Gemara says, my time at Rabbi Yehuda. What's the reason of Rabbi Yehuda? Rav Chista v'Rababar Rav Huna Darmit Harvayu K'neg Shlosha Hashbasos Sheba Torah. The Pesukim in the Torah refer to getting rid of your chametz in three different ways, and therefore he says you have to do three different bedikas. So what are those Pesukim? Lo Yer Lecha Chametz V'lo Yer Lecha Seor Shivas Yamim Seor Le'yimatzei V'vatzeichem. Right, so the first one is Re'iyah, if you're seeing it. Right, so that seeing it is a reference to getting rid of it. I mean, you have to go find it. And then you have a pasuk Shivas Yamim Seor Le'yimatzei. Yimatzei is another way. Ach B'yom Rishon Tashbisu is the actual getting rid of it. So those are three different times, or three different verbs that are used in reference to chametz. So too, he says you have to check three times. So Meisiv, Rav Yosef, is that really true? Rav Yehuda Omer Koshel Abadak Metzolshe Prakim Halalu Shuv Eino Bodek El Mikan Ve'elachu Depligi. If anyone doesn't check in one of these three times, so then you don't check anymore. But after that is when they disagree. But no, they don't disagree about the first three. So Marzusha Masnihach, this is how Marzusha says it. Same type of thing. Meisiv Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda, Omer Kol Shul Abarak Be'achar Mishloach Shaprakim Halal Shuv Eino Bodek Alma B'Shuv Eino Bodek Hu Depligim. So he implies it from the phrase. Doesn't say that it's part of the actual Meisiv or the actual objection from Rav Yosef. So the Gemara says Ela Rav Yehuda Nami Im Lo Bodek Kama. Rav Yehuda really means to say, just like the Chachamim, that when you don't redo it on the night of the 14th, so then you have to do it again later, but it's not to say that you actually have to do it three times. And the Pesukim are just telling you times when you could do Bedika, not times that you should do Bedika if you already did them. So the Gemara says, and this is what they're really arguing about. They're really arguing about not the first kinds, the first types of, the first times of Bedika, but rather if you didn't do it beforehand. Mar Savar Mekami Yisura in Basri Yisura Lo. Rabbi Yehuda thinks that you have to do the Bedika before the time of the Isser Chametz comes in. Gezera, why? Gezera Dilma Asilim Echal Minei. If you're going to do Bedika right at the time of when it's already Asr to eat Chametz, so then you're going to look for the chametz and you're going to pick it up and you might eat it instinctively. Rabbanan Savar Lo Gazer, and Rabbanan say, no, we don't make such a gezera. We're not worried that someone's going to come to eat the chametz. So now we're going to go through a whole list of different instances where Rabbi Yehuda sounds like he does make gezeras, even though here he doesn't. Or sorry, Rabbi Yehuda doesn't make gezera, even though here he does. So to be clear, Rabbi Yehuda makes a gzera. You make the bedika even after, you make the bedika only before Yantif. The Chachamim say you make the bedikas even during or after Yantif. And it's based on whether or not you make a gzera that we're worried you're going to eat it. Rabbi Yehuda is worried that you're going to come to eat the chametz, and the Chachamim trust you to say, no, you're checking for chametz, you're not going to eat it. So the Gemara says like this, Umi Gazer Rabbi Yehuda Dilma Asin L'Me'achamina. Is it really true that Rabbi Yehuda thinks that we should make gezeras, that you shouldn't eat something if you're already ready to, if something's Aser? So the Hatanan, the Mishnah tells us, Mishakar V'Orma Yotzin Motzin Shok Yerushalayim Shehem Aleim Kamach V'Kela V'Kali. Once the Omer has been brought. The carbon Omer is the carbon that we bring on the second day of Pesach, and it effectively allows you to eat any new grain or any old grain, meaning any grain that was taken in the previous year from the time that the previous Omer was brought. So you're not allowed to eat it. That's called Chadash. You can only eat it once the carbon Omer is brought. Right? This is, even nowadays, what some people do. It's machlokas poskim, what level of obligation it is. But some people say that it's an obligation still today, even outside of Eretz Yisrael, in one form, or at least a minhag, to not eat chadash. And that's what you hear about eating yashan. Right? This is that halacha. So the Gemara says that when a person brings the carbon omer, and you go out into the streets of Yerushalayim, you'll see the streets are already full of grain. They're full of flour and toasted grain. Kemach v'kali. So the Gemara says, how exactly does that happen? It must be that they were preparing it already before the Omer was brought. Right? Otherwise it wouldn't already be in the streets. So the Gemara says, Shelo b'rason chachamim hinosin div Rebbe Meir. Rebbe Meir thinks that this is not what the chachamim wanted. The chachamim want you to be careful. They don't want you to use the chadash and to be dealing with the chadash until after the Omer. So the fact that they were already preparing it, okay, right now, after the Omer has been brought, that's good, fine. But the fact that all the food is already prepared, so that is concerning based on the Chachamim, because you shouldn't be dealing with it. There should be, i.e., a gezerah to not deal with Chadash until after the Omer has been brought. Right? This is like those pretzels that you always wonder when you're in Israel, how they get them out the day after Pesach. Right? Nowadays, it's because of fast processing. But back then, it took a long time for that type of thing to happen, and therefore the Chacham didn't like it. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Beratzon Chacham Hinos, and really the Chacham were okay with it. Velo Kagaza Rabbi Yehuda, Dilma Asilume Chamine. Rabbi Yehuda wasn't concerned that the people would be eating from the flour while they were processing it, even before the carbon Omer. So Omer, Rava, no, Shani Chadash. The Isser of Chadash is different. Why? Mito Shalo Hitar Talo. Ela ayde kituf huzachor. The only time you're allowed to deal with the, grain, you're only allowed to have it after something called picking. You have to pick it by hand, right? And if it's picked by hand, as opposed to harvesting it in a normal way with a sickle. I don't know what they used to do, but. The fact that you have to use different utensils to harvest the grain means that they're going to be careful, and therefore we're not worried dilma asi lemecha minei like we are by chametz. So amar le'abaye tenach mashas ketifa, that's fine when it comes to actually picking the grain, but tachina v'harkada ma'ik lemeimar. In this mishnah or this brisa, it implies that they grinded it. And sifted it, harkada. They grinded and sifted it. So the Gemara says, and that's a normal thing to do, right? And if it's a normal thing to do, so maybe we should be worried because there's shema yachilana, right? That maybe they're going to eat it. So the Gemara says, ma'ikel meimar halokasha tchina berachaya diyad harkada agave nafa, right? So even those, they used very unique ways of doing them. For the sake of making a distinction and preventing them from eating the chadash, one thing is that they only grinded the grain with a hand mill as opposed to a water mill or an animal mill, and they also sifted it with the top of the sifter, which is a worse type of sifting. I don't know. So Elahadidnan, here's another example of where Rabbi Yehuda seems to not be concerned about Gzera. So the Gemara says, Hadidnan Kotrin Bein Ashlachim V'Sheba Amakim Avalo Gotchin. Well, Kimnek Rabbi Yehuda. So this is a case where, again, you're allowed to harvest the grain from a field that needs irrigation from the valleys, Beis Ashlachim and Amakim. Some kind of field that needs a harvesting of the grain again, that you irrigate them in a normal way. So the Gemara says you just can't pile up the produce. And we say it's like Rabbi Yehuda. This is a typical thing. meaning it's a kotsrin. Kotsrin is a typical way to do it. Not biyad, not with any kind of other thing. Rather, so the Gemara says, Ella Amar Abaye. Really, Rava's reasoning doesn't 100% justify Reb Yehuda's shita that we don't do gezeras, that we don't do gezeras for chadash and yashan, whereas we do it for chametz. So Abaye says, El Amar Abaye, chadash badul minei, chametz la badul minei. Really has nothing to do with the way that you're harvesting the chadash, or the way you're harvesting the grain. Rather, it has to do with the fact that chadash is something people are used to not eating. Chadash, new produce, which you're still processing during the year, is never able to be eaten right away. There's always going to be an Isser of Chadash. There's never going to be a time where you can pluck something out of the ground and eat it right away. You have to wait for the Karban Omer to be brought. So the Gemara says, and Abaye says, that's not the same as Chametz. Chametz, all year round, you see a cake, you can eat it. You see a piece of bread, you have crackers, you can eat it. And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda is more worried that somebody who's checking for chametz is going to pick up the chametz and eat it than he is for chadash, where a person would never eat it. So that's what I mean. Badil mineh, you can be separated, havdalah, right? Badil, you can separate yourself from that. So Amar Rava, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Lokasha, Kasha, Drabana, Drabana, Lokasha. Is it really true that only Rabbi Yehuda has these kashas? The Rachachamim also have the kashas, right? Rabbi Meir at the top of the daf was the one who said that the people shouldn't be processing the wheat, shouldn't be processing the grain before the Omer is brought, whereas the Chachamim in our Mishnah sound like they're not worried. So just like Rabbi Yehuda sounds like he has a machlokas, so, or a stira, a contradiction, so too the Chachamim have a stira, because the Chachamim are the ones in our Mishnah that say that you should not make a gezera, and here they're saying that there should be a gezera through the Shita of Rabbi Meir, who could be representing the Shita of the Chachamim here. So the Gemara says, what's the explanation for the Chachamim? So, Rabbi Yehuda, Ad Rabbi Yehuda, Kasha, Kedushanina. There's no Kasha in Rabbi Yehuda, like Abaye said, because Chadash and Chametz are different. However, Drabban and Naami, Lokasha, it's also not a problem for the Chachamim. Why? Who Atzma, Machazar, Lev, Lasarfa, Mecha, Kachmine? Says the Chachamim, that when it comes to Chadash, yeah, you might not be accustomed to eating it, but you're harvesting it for the sake of eating it, right? The process you're going through is for the sake of ultimately going to use it in a meal. However, for chametz, what are you doing with the chametz? Why are you checking for chametz? You're checking for chametz so you can burn it. So if somebody's going to burn chametz, they're going to come to eat it. The whole purpose of their checking is for the burning. And therefore, the chachamim say, by chametz, we're not worried that if you check it, that you're going to have a... an inclination to eat it, because you're going to go to burn it. This is also interesting based on the later bedikas, right? The one during Yantif or the one during after Yantif. So those do you have to burn? It's not very clear. I will get to that machlokas later. But Gemara says Rav Ashi Amar Rabbi Yehuda Ad Rabbi Lokasha Kemach Vakali Tanan. It says specifically Kemach Vakali, and Kemach Vakali, flour and toasted grain, roasted grain, are not things that you usually eat, and therefore that's why we're not concerned. So Gemara said, wait a second, Hadra of Asha Bedusahi, that doesn't make any sense, or that's a minority opinion. Why? Hatenach Mekali Va'elach. That makes sense after you've processed it to the extent that it's not edible. Meikara Adkali Maikal Member. What about when you're picking it in the field? You're still going to eat it then. That's when it's still edible, it's soft, and you can still eat it. So the Gemara says, "Echit am I the kitov kiderava?" If you're going to tell me that it's all based on Rava's idea that you have to pick it by hand, and therefore it's going to remind you. So Gemara says, "Elakotrim beis hashlachim shabam akim vokim to Reb Yehuda ma'iklam emar." Just like we said to Rava, you have to explain how it is the case that the Bryce said you're allowed to irrigate the field and harvest the field as normal. Ela the Rav Ashi bedusahi. Rav Ashi's answer that it's different because of the material you're dealing with, meaning that it's roasted grain and that it is that it's flour where people don't eat it, that's not a good enough answer to justify Rabbi Yehuda's distinction between chametz and chadash. So Gemara says, V'chol heicha delo badul minei migazer Rabbi Yehuda. Who said that Rabbi Yehuda is always going to be careful? Rabbi Yehuda is always going to be careful when there's an isser. Right? Rabbi Yehuda is now saying that by chametz we don't have a gzera. Sorry, by chametz we do have a gzera, because you're not going to be careful about eating it, because you're always used to eating chametz. Whereas chadash is an isser, and therefore we are, sorry, there's an Isser in both cases, but Chadish, there's always an Isser, and you're always careful not to eat it. So the Gemara says, so how is it the case? Is it really the case? Sorry, is it really the case that Rabbi Yehuda always thinks that when you're dealing with a food or with an item which is you're accustomed to doing to using, that he's going to say there's no that there's a gzera? We have a Mishnah, Lo Yikov Adam Shavafera Shavetzav Yimana Shami Vidnanab Saraner Bishvil Shetayim Atavas Vavhil Vishacharis. You might recognize this Mishnah from Friday night. We say it in Bamei Malika in the beginning of the second parak of Shabbos that we did together months ago. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Huda Matzir, Rabbi Huda is the one that says it's okay. And what are we talking about? We're talking about shemen. Shemen is oil. You always eat oil. You have oil all the time. Not just on Hanukkah, but you use oil all the time. And here Rabbi Huda says, you can have this whole contraption where you have the oil that drips into the candle so that it continues the light burning. So how could it be that Rabbi Yehuda says you're allowed to do such a thing? You usually use oil, and therefore, based on this rule that Hechad L'Badumineg Gazer Rabbi Yehuda, that any time you're not careful about something, generally, that we're not going to, that we have to make a gezera, just like chametz. So why is it that over here he allows you to make this whole contraption? Shouldn't you be worried that you're going to come to eat from the oil? So the Gemara says, no, Hasu Mishum Chumr de Shabbos Mivada Bedili. Because of Shabbos, you're going to stay careful because it's Shabbos. Shabbos is something that people are generally more stringent about. So the Gemara says, wait a second. For Rami de Shabbos a Shabbos, de Tanya, we have another Brisa that talks about Shabbos, where Rabbi Yehuda is okay with doing something which is going to be, he's not okay with doing something because of Shabbos. So the Gemara, Chevel Deli Shenivzak, you have a rope holding a bucket for your well that tore apart. Lo koshro el onvo, you're not allowed to make a kshira, you're not allowed to tie it, you have to just loop it. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, korech lov punda opaskia obavashli avenu. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you're not allowed to do that, you have to do something else. You can't actually even loop the rope. Rather, you have to, how do you translate this? You have to put a belt or a sash on the rope to bring it together, but you're not allowed to retie it, right? Those things aren't permanent, and you're clearly not going to leave it like that with the belt or the wrap sitting there on the rope to keep it together. The only thing Rabbi Yehuda says, you're not allowed to even loop it. So why are you not allowed to loop it? Presumably because you're worried that that's going to lead you to tie it. But wait a second, we just said that Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold of gezeras on Shabbos. That gezeras on Shabbos aren't necessary because it's Shabbos, and Shabbos is a time where people are extra careful. So kash Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda, kash Rabbanan, Rabbanan. Also, the Chachamim are making this gezera, are allowing you to do the aniva without a gezera. They're allowing you to do the loop without making any, without being concerned that it's going to lead you to make a knot. Whereas in the case of the eggshell with a contraption to make the oil continue burning, that continue into the candle, so then they are concerned. So which one is it? So drabana, drabana lokasha, shemen b'shemen mechlef. Oil can be easily confused. And just like you're putting oil for this, you might use oil for something else and come to detract from the light to use it for something else. However, aniva b'kshira lo mechlef, the loop and the knot is such a different kind of activity that you're not going to come to do one. You're not going to come to do the kshir just because you're doing an aniva. That's the chachamim's umdina. That's how they see the reality of it. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda lo kasha. Tam Rabbi Yehuda la mishum gizgazer aniva atik shira. Ela mishum de kasavar aniva gufa kshira hi. Rabbi Yehuda is not a gezera. Rabbi Yehuda, we saw this actually at the end of Erevin, if I remember, that Rabbi Yehuda doesn't believe that the reason you can't make the knot or can't make the loop for the bucket is because it's going to lead you to kshira. He actually believes that the aniva is itself kshira, that the loop is itself a knot, and that's the problem. So the Gemara, and therefore that you don't find Rabbi Yehuda making gezera on Shabbos. So the Gemara says Rabbi Yehuda matir, and Rabbi Yehuda says it's okay. Chevel demai, what kind of rope are we talking about? Ilema chevel de ama, we're talking about a regular rope. Rabbi Yehuda matir kesher shekayamahi. We have another brisa that says Rabbi Yehuda is allowed. It allows you to do it, but how could that be? If the brisa says you're allowed to do it, and we're talking about a regular rope, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that's a real iser deraisa. So how could he ever say such a thing? So devada as levatule. Oh, I have a wrong punctuation. Ezra, Tivada Asuluvatule. What does Tivada Asuluvatule mean? Alvatula meaning he's not going to do anything else with it. He's not going to undo it later, and therefore it's going to be a permanent knot. So elapshita degardi, rather it's for sure a different kind of rope, a lesser quality rope that people don't usually use for their wells, for their buckets. V'gazra abanon cheva degardi atu cheva de alma in cheva becheva michlaf ani v'kshira lo michlafa. Right, the rabbanon only make the gzera when it comes to this type of rope that you're going to come to use it in another with a regular type of rope. However, within the same kind of rope, they're not worried that you're going to go from a loop to a regular knot. Interesting svar. But either way, right, that the fact that you're going to go from rope to rope, but you're not going to go from loop to knot, according to the Chachamim. Is it really true that Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold of a gezerah in cases where you're going to be careful about an isser? Case of a bechor behema, right? You have to give the bechor of your animal, your flock, to the Beis HaMikdash. And let's say it's got a lot of blood. Technically, you're not allowed to do anything to an animal which is going to cause a mum, a blemish. You're not allowed to do anything to a bechor that's going to cause a blemish, because that's going to take it away from kadshim in an active way. So here, this animal needs to let out some blood. It's dangerous for the animal. So the Gemara says that the Rebbe Yehuda says it's aser, you have a gezerah to do so, and the Rachachamim say you're allowed to, you just have to be careful not to make a mum. Rebbe Yehuda presumes he's making gezerah that you're not allowed to, lest you come to make a blemish in the animal. So Gemara says, no, hasam is different. There in the case, even though typically you're careful about the yisr, asam mitoch she'adam bahu al mamono, amrina isharis le b'makam she'eno asim bo mum, asim eva b'makam she'osim bo mum. Over on the other amud, next Amud. So the reason Rabbi Yehuda says he's worried is because the person is going to take extra precautions or extra lengths to try to save his animal and to make sure he can use it, right? If the animal gets a mum, so then he's allowed to eat it. But if he puts the mum in it, so you have to bury it, you can't do anything with it. So in this case, we're worried that the person is going to try to save the money, right? A cow could cost a lot of money. And therefore, Rashi says it's a kohen, okay? And therefore, we're worried that you're not able, you're not going to, he's not going to be able to use the cow, or he's going to try to do any means necessary to save the cow, and therefore, it's going to come to he's going to come to putting a mum, which would make it usher. So which is usher itself. Rabbanan kol shekein to ilo sharis leiv klal asim le'abad, and Rabbanan say, all the more so, we should not. Hold on, what does that mean? So the Chachamim, right. Ilo Sharis, like, Klal Asamabad, if we don't allow him to do something, he's definitely going to do it, right? So if you make a gezerah, they're definitely, it's gezerah she'en echol lamod ba, that the person can't hold himself back. He's going to try to save his cow, so we have to let him do something. Very interesting concept, very interesting sort of halachic mentality there. You got to let him do something, right? Like the Yefas Toar, the captive woman, you got to let him do something, lest they come to do it anyway and do so in violation. So Gemara says, Vatzanad, wait a second. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ein Mekajin Abahim Biyomtum Neshu Osa Chabura Ava Mekartzefin. I think there's two types of combing. Let me just make sure. The Rebbe says, may not scrape an animal on Yantif with a fine comb, but you could do so, you can scratch with a wide comb, right? So it's, Mekadrin is with a fine comb, which is going to create wounds easier, but you could do it with a wide comb, which is not going to be as detrimental. So here, Rebbe Yehuda also allows you to do something, and it doesn't make it gzeir v'chachamim, ein Mekadrin af, in Mekartzef, and the Chacham say you can't do anything. Betani Ezu Kidr Ezu Kirtzef, Kidr Katanim Ve'osim Chabura. Right, Kidr is with fine teeth on the comb, and that's going to make a wound. Kartzef Gadolim Ve'enosim Chabura. So over there, the Rabbi Huda is not making Gezera, and typically Rabbi Huda would make Gezera. So I'm going to say, No Hasim, Ite Isha Viklei Mayas, Amrina and Adam Bahu Amamona. In the case of the Bechor, he doesn't make a gezerah. He allows you. Sorry, he does allow you, and we're not going to make a gezerah because then. Sorry, we are going to make a gezerah. Right, Reb Yehuda says you're not allowed to do by the bechor, you're not allowed to do the bloodletting to let out the blood of the animal. The reason is because the animal is going to die, and then if you're going to lose everything. And that's why we say that he's more worried, that Reb Yehuda is more worried. If you don't do anything, the animal's going to die. Then he's going to be more concerned. He's going to come to make a blemish. In this case, where you're talking about the animal who's just got some things that you want to comb off, so it's not really that concerning to Reb Yehuda for him to comb the animal because the person's not going to. So what's the end of the day? The animal's going to be in a little pain until after Yontif. But it's not the end of the world that the person is going to try to save the animal and then cause blemishes to come. So Rabbi Yehuda Maishna Gabe Chametz de Gazar, Umaishna Gabe Kartzav de Lo Gazar. Why is it by Chametz? He says you make a Gezerah, that you don't do Bedika after the Isser applies, but whereas you do allow the combing with the fine tooth, with the wide comb to be done. So Lechem Belechem Mechlaf, Kidor Bekartzav Lo Mechlaf. Bread and bread, you're going to come to eat it. You're not going to know the difference between good bread and bad bread. But when it comes to, and therefore we have to make gezera not to even check for it. Whereas when it comes to the combs, so then you're not going to really change the big comb for the small comb. You'll notice the difference. Okay, that's enough of that discussion. Rabbi Yehuda makes a gezera by chametz, whereas a chum don't. I'm surprised that the Gemara doesn't continue that conversation of that Mishnah, because there's a lot more to talk about, and there's a lot more the Gemara is going to talk about, just not in regards to that Mishnah. But either way, new Mishnah. Rabbi Meir Omerim, Ochlin Kol Chamesh V'Sor Mitzuchel Sheis. Rabbi Meir says you can eat the entire fifth hour based on the Daraisa, and you have to start burning at the beginning of the sixth. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ochlin Kol, this is how we pass. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ochlin Kol Arba V'Ton Kol Chamesh. You can eat it the entire fourth hour of the day on the 14th, but then you have to wait on the fifth hour, and then Sarfin Mitzuchel Sheis. And then you have to start burning based on the Torah's Tashbisa Sorim Batechem. At the beginning of the sixth, which is the last hour of the morning, they would put these two loaves of bread and on the porch of some kind, on a ledge of some kind in the Beis HaMikdash, and kol zman shemunachos kol ha'am ochlin. Anytime there were two there, so then you could eat it. Nitl achas tolin lo ochlin lo sarfin. When they took away one of them, there's only one loaf of bread there, so then they would eat it, and they would not eat it, and they would not burn chametz. Nitl shtei, when he took both of them away, so he yischil kol ha'am sarfin, then everybody would start to burn it. Rabbi Gamliel has an interesting shita. Rabbi Gamliel omer chulin shne'achalin kol arba. That regular food is allowed to be eaten the whole fourth hour, just like Rabbi Yehuda. Utruma kol chamesh. And truma, you have to be allowed to eat it during the fifth hour of Esorf and Tichel Sheis, and then you can burn it in the sixth hour. Rabbi Gamliel is worried you're going to be negligent in terms of truma. You're not allowed to refrain from eating truma, which is a mitzvah to eat, just because of the Darabanan. You can only stop eating truma based on a Daraisa, which only happens in the sixth hour. So when you're supposed to burn it. So Gemara says, Tanan hasam echer om b'shnayim v'chodesh v'echer om b'shlosha idusim kaimis. Let's say people are coming to testify to a murder. And you're talking about times of the day. So if a person comes to testify for a murder and he says it happened on the second of the month, and another person says the other eight, you have to have two witnesses. The other witness says it happens on the third of the month. So then idusim kaimis, their testimony works out. Why? It could be this person thought it was the second, this person thought it was the third, and that's the only difference is whether they knew it was a 2-day Rosh Chodesh or not, right? Were they ma'aber the moon, the month. So Echad Omer, however, Echad Omer, Shloshav Echad Omer, but hey, if one person says it was on the third, one person said it was on the fifth, so then I do some Batera. Betela. It's impossible to do such a thing because they can never, there's no justification for getting it 2 days off. And therefore, the testimony is no good. So, Echad Omer b'shtei shos, v'echad Omer b'shalosh shos, idusan kames. If one person says it happened during the second hour of the day, one person says it happened during the third hour of the day, so then idusan kames, then it works. Echad Omer b'shalosh, v'echad Omer b'chamesh, idusan betela. If one person says it happened in the third hour and the other person says it happened in the fifth hour, so then it's no good. That happens too far away from each other. You should know the timing difference there. That's according to Divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Idus Nakayemus. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, the testimony still works even in that case. Echad Omer Bechamish Vechad Omer Besheva. However, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, who thinks that the difference of a two-hour testimony difference would be okay, so even he believes that if the people say one person said the fifth hour of the day, one person said the seventh hour of the day, that would not work. Why? The placement of the sun in the sky is so different between the fifth hour and the seventh hour that's not believable. The person should know the difference between the fifth and the seventh, just discerning based on the sun. So why is it that there's the machlokas here, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir? Right, this is getting back to the Pesachim, as you can probably make the connection yourself. Amar Abaye b'shkisha timsa lo amar l'divir Rabbi Meir ein adam tov lo klum. When you see Rabbi Meir shita, Rabbi Meir says you're not allowed to make any real mistakes. L'divir Rabbi Yehuda adam tov chatisha. However, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you can make a difference of a half hour. How does that work? L'divir Rabbi Meir ein adam tov lo klum. People don't make mistakes. You're not allowed to make mistakes. In what way then you justify, therefore, that they can be an hour off from each other? Masa ki have a mevak tarti mild plus. Right, the murder must have happened right at the end of the second hour. When the person said that it happened in the second hour, he meant at the end of the second hour. And when the other witness said it happened at the beginning of the third hour, he meant the beginning. And therefore, they were really looking at the same time period. However, a person can misremember a half hour worth in their day. And therefore, here is the case. But happened at the middle of the fourth hour, meaning at 3:30. And this person who says that it happened in the third hour, so he says that it happened, so he really, it happened at 2:30, right, in the third hour, in the second half of the third hour. And he really made a mistake. He was at the end of the third hour, and he made a mistake. He was thinking it was the end of the third hour, and really it was the middle of the fourth hour, meaning it was a half hour later. And v'hai dekamar chamesh, and the person who said it was the fifth hour, b'tchilas chamesh, he thought it happened at the beginning of the fifth hour, v'katay pag d'shay selachore, and he mistakenly said that, even though it was really half hour behind him. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, you can be 2 hours off, which is really an hour and a bit off between the two of them. And Rabbi Meir thinks you're not allowed to be anything off. It's just a matter of saying that it happened at the beginning of the hour versus the end of the hour. All right, we're going to pick up with another version of this in a second. Actually, let's just do it. According to Rabbi Meir, you can make a little mistake. That a person can make an hour and a bit mistake. One person makes a mistake of a couple minutes, and therefore it makes the difference between the end of the hour or the beginning of the hour. Only one of them makes a mistake, and they think that they're an hour and a bit off. So according to the second version, a person can make a mistake of up to an hour. According to the first version, a person can make a mistake up to a half hour. We'll see what that means for Chametz tomorrow. Shkayach. Sorry, a couple minutes late, but let's get to Shul.